We're going to walk through this psalm over the next few minutes. We're going to look at three simple points as we go through. There they are. Pray for rescue. God is my help. And praise for rescue. Verse 1 to 3, verse 4, and verse 5 to 7. So if you switch off now, you at least know where we're going. But hopefully you can stay switched on for some of it and know where we've been as well. But that's where we're going. Looking at these three areas. Let's start with pray for rescue. There's David, again, in another perilous situation, chased by his own people and now being sought out once again by Saul. And they say, "We know where he is. Come and get him." And what does he do? He turns to God in prayer. Verse 2, he says, "Hear my prayer, O God, listen to the words of my mouth." Maybe that's our tendency as well. Perhaps even if we haven't got a great prayer life, that in times of crisis, in times of trouble, we turn to God in prayer. Perhaps you even feel guilty because that's mostly when you pray. Well, let's see here at least. It is right to pray when we're in the midst of that sort of trouble. Here's David, persecuted and attacked in crisis, and he turns to God in prayer. That's not the only time we should pray, and I think what we see here instructs us as to how we pray then and at other times too. And I think the key I want to focus in on is verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name. Mark's talked about name already. It's one of the key things we see. There are actually three different names for God used in this psalm. I'm not going to specifically look at those different names, but we're going to look at the different characteristics of God. David asks God to save him, to rescue him from his current situation. Attacked as he is, verse 3, strangers are attacking me. Not strangers in that he doesn't know who they are, but they're acting in a way that is strange, that is wrong for who they are. Strangers are attacking me, verse 3. Ruthless men seek my life, men without regard for God. So he says, vindicate me by your might. Free me, rescue me, and vindicate my name by your name, is what he says. And I think crucially is that by your name, as Mark's really helpfully helped us think about already. David asks God, in effect, to act in a way that is in accordance with his character, that is in keeping with his name and who David knows him to be. So let's just think about names for a moment. What is in a name? Names carry a huge amount of meaning for us, I think. When you first meet someone, what do? You introduce yourselves and you shake hands or you whatever you do, and you exchange names. But at that stage, their name is just a name. I was talking to Dan James earlier this week. He says that if ever he forgets someone's name, he calls them Tom. I guess that doesn't help him very often. But when you first meet someone, you don't actually know who they are. Your name is just a name. But actually, as you get to know someone, isn't it funny how that name begins to represent who they are to you? I've ever experienced that with a baby. When a baby gets a name, you say, oh, right, okay, it's Nathan. But then over time, you stop thinking about that as a name separate to a baby, and you think of that person when you hear that name. Everything about them, their characteristics, their behavior, is wrapped up in their name. So perhaps you fall in love with that person who once was a stranger. And no longer when you hear that name do you hear the name of a stranger, but instead you hear the name of that person who you love. So you might be somewhere and you hear someone say that person's name from the other side of the room, and instantly you're tuned in and you have this rush of emotions that you didn't even know existed at one point because you've heard the name of this loved one. And no longer is the name just a name, it is now their name, and everything that goes with that person is tied up in their name. My parents are coming up this afternoon to look after our kids for the next couple of days, and if I say to them, even Amy, age 3, if I say, Grandma and Grandpa are coming, there'll be instant excitement because they know that that means good things. Just by saying their names, that means there'll be fun, there'll be excitement, there'll be good things happening. It also makes them listen occasionally if I say their names, which is great. I'll try and get all of you in a minute, all the rest of the kids too. So in their name is something of the experience, of the characteristics, of the behavior that they come to expect when they're together. What do you say if a child is worried? You say, don't worry, I'll pick you up. Daddy's with you. Well, what's that meant to mean? That's meant to be comforting. It's meant to say, by experience, you know that me being with you is a good thing. So don't be worried. Don't be scared. I'm here. perhaps in a slightly different way, if someone says, quick, the boss is coming, then you kind of make yourself look busy even if you weren't. That has a slightly different connotation. But again, it's because the name brings with it meaning. You know that the boss means something as to what you're expected to do because of their position, their authority, their power. So it all comes because their character is instilled in our names once you get to know someone. By experience of being with a person, do you know what that person will be like? And then that is carried in their name. So here's what struck me as I've focused on this in the last few days. If God's name is to bring me and to bring you confidence and comfort and reassurance and encouragement and whatever else it might be, then we really need to know God. There's no value in staying as those strangers of first meeting, because then you don't have any confidence in their name. I meet someone casually once and that's it. I might just call them Tom forevermore. Only once you get to know someone can you have confidence in that person because you know them. So what struck me is that I really need to know God. I really need to invest in getting to know him better. And then the richness of his character, the richness of what's described in his different names and the different ways that God is referred to in the Bible will mean more and more and more to me, whether I'm in terrible trouble like David here, whether I'm in a very different life situation. As I get to know the full range of the Bible, I will get to know the full range of God's name, if you like, his character. I will get to know what it means that he is God, that he is Lord, that he is holy, that he is creator, that he is almighty, that he is sustainer, and we could go on. But only if I spend time getting to know God better will those things be real to me. So here's the question for me and for you. How well do I know God? How much better am I getting to know God? Do I know him better today than I did a year ago, than I did 5 years ago? As we've looked at these Psalms over the last 10 years, have I got to know God better? So that I'm encouraged and helped and comforted and reassured by him and his character as it's revealed in his word. That's going to come, I think, by spending time in his word. As we read the whole range of God's word, we will get to know him better. And as we live the Christian life as well, through experience of life with others, then we get to see God in his fullness. Wouldn't it be a great aim to have that same deep knowledge, that deep understanding that you sense David has, so that we can turn to God in prayer and in praise and call on those different attributes of God's character? That's something I really want to make true for me. I wonder if that would be a good thing for you as well, to be investing in getting to know God better in all his richness. Just to help us with that specifically from this passage, bit of participation for you for a moment. If your partner next to you has fallen asleep, give him a quick nudge. What I'd love you to do is look down at these seven verses and call out any words that you can see that speak of God, that describe God, his name, you know, who he is, or David's expectation of what he will do, what he will be able to do because he is God. So have a look down, and as soon as you've seen any, just call them out. Who is God? What do we see of him here? He is good. Thanks, Matthew. Save me. He's rescuer. Saver, I've realized, isn't really a word. So rescuer, yeah, absolutely. Sustainer, a helper, absolutely. Mighty. Deliverer. Listener, absolutely. He hears. And faithful. Those are the eight that I found as well. There might be others. There they are. Rescuer, mighty, listener, helper, sustainer, faithful, good, deliverer. What a package. The God that we can speak to in prayer, whether life is good or whether you are in absolute dire straits, is all of those things. and he will listen. David says, hear my prayer, listen to the words of my mouth. And he does that for us. And if we know God well, then we will know the richness of that and much more besides that the Bible goes on to describe elsewhere. And that will drive how we pray. It'll drive our confidence in prayer as we turn to God and ask him to be faithful, not because of us, but faithful simply to himself. Because we can ask him and expect that he will be those things. We can pray according to his name. It doesn't mean that troubles will go away. It doesn't mean that David will be instantly rescued from this situation that he was in. It doesn't mean that we will be. But it does mean we can confidently pray. And we can expect God to be true to himself. So pray for rescue. And even if you don't feel you need rescue from this particular life situation, pray. And pray that God would act in accordance with his name. Secondly, verse 4, really the kind of the core of the psalm, God is my help. David turns here from praying, he's going to come on to praising, but if you like, in a sandwich in the middle here, you get this great statement of David saying, God is my help. God is my help, he is my sustainer. So verse 4, surely God is my help, the Lord is the one who sustains me. God is my help. God is my help. God is my help. Just think about that for a moment. God is not just a helper. Not God just is our helper. God is your help. God is my help. God would bother to condescend to me and be interested in me and to be helping me. God the Almighty, God the Creator, God the Holy and Pure would bother to come down to each one of us in this room this morning and say, I am your help. I am your sustainer. And I just really want us to feel the wonder of that, the incredible stooping down of God to be interested in us, to be in our lives, and not just over our lives globally. So when you're facing a tough situation at work next week, when you're struggling with singleness, when you're wading through massive difficulties in a relationship, when you're in good times in life, actually, God is your help. God is your sustainer. God is my help. He is my sustainer. So as David does, pray, trust, have confidence that God will be true to himself. Ask him to be true to himself, knowing that he is your help, your sustainer. Where does that help come from? I guess it can come in all sorts of different forms. Sometimes God might send a legion of angels to come and rescue someone from a particular situation. More commonly, that won't happen. More commonly, actually, he's going to use us to help us. So, yes, let's pray for help. Let's pray that God would be our help. Let's recognize, too, that we will be the answer to part of that for each other. We, in community together, are here to help each other. And we can spur each other on. We can be that encouragement to each other. And just be great to be thinking, well, how can we be help to each other? How might God use me to be an encouragement, to be rejoicing with each other, to be crying with each other, whatever it might be that we need? Don't expect that it will always be that legion of angels. Let's look to ourselves to think, how might God use me to be that help that he wants us to be? God will use us to help us corporately. He will use us in relationship with each other. So, pray for rescue, because God is my help and will act according to his name. And then finally, praise for rescue. prays for rescue. 6 and 7, David turns from prayer and turns to praise. He says, I will sacrifice a free will offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. It's probably helpful to say what David isn't saying here. What he's not doing is some sort of bargain with God. He's not saying, God, if you rescue me, then I will do this for you. I will give you an offering. I will praise you. He's no longer praying for rescue here in quite that same way. It's not some contract. Instead, it's a free will offering. The key word being free, freely given. What he's doing then is actually saying to God, thank you. He's praising God for his goodness. He's praising God for acting according to himself in relationship with David, for rescuing, for delivering that rescue. What's this stuff about offering? We see back in Psalm 50 and in 51, actually, that God isn't interested in offerings for the sake of them. He doesn't want empty ceremonies. What he's interested in is our hearts, in heartfelt obedience, and here I think heartfelt praise. Not just the empty ceremony of bringing an offering, but David saying, with my lips and with my heart, I praise you for rescuing me. So here's a question for us that again has really challenged me this week. As we praise God, are we being heartfelt? As I praise God, am I simply doing something with my lips that is hollow because my heart is far from it? And I confess that can often be the case. Perhaps we pitch up here on a Sunday morning. This isn't the only way we praise by any means, but one of the ways in which we do it is in song. And we pitch up here and we sing these great words, and we've sung them already. But actually, is our heart really engaged? Is our head engaged, or is it simply our mouth speaking as an organ for us? Is it heartfelt when we praise God? Or do we have lukewarm, even cold hearts that say one thing, but if we're to look carefully into ourselves, we see something very different? Equally, it's comparatively easy perhaps to praise God when life feels good. We're saying here, I praise you because you are good. Well, when life feels good, when God feels good, perhaps that's reasonably easy. But when life feels tough, when we're in some of those hardest situations of life, then maybe that's rather harder. What David's doing is saying, I praise you, God, because you are good. And I think for me, perhaps for many of us, what I need is for my heart to be stirred so that this would be heartfelt praise, that it would be genuine. God is good always and is worthy of heartfelt praise always, whether I feel it or not. And I need my heart to be warmed by that truth. Now, of course, it is, I think, easier for all of us, I think, to praise God when life feels good. We can convince ourselves that God is worthy of praise when that feels to be the case. But it's no less true that he is worthy of praise when life doesn't feel good, when we're in those hardest of situations, when God feels far from us, when the world feels like it's against us, when we feel hopeless and in despair. God is still good. Now, David here praises, perhaps looking back on this situation of rescue, but he's going to need rescue again. Now, whether you're in a difficult situation right now or not, perhaps you can look back on times when God has been faithful, and you can look forward to his ongoing faithfulness. He is good no matter what's going on. So we can find encouragement, I think, from some of those toughest times that we have been through. And I guess the other key thing here is for our perspective to be right. You may feel this morning, let's imagine you are going through something pretty awful. Life has dealt you some pretty harsh blows. And you think, where is God? Where is God? God is not good. This is not true. when it says God is good? Well, I don't want to condemn you this morning. I don't want to say that it is easy to praise God when he feels far from us, when we feel far from him, when he doesn't feel like he is good. But it is true that he is good. And even if we don't yet know rescue from our current situation, he has rescued us through Jesus. He has given us the one rescue that we need. You know what? If life doesn't get better and your days end in the situation that you're currently in, he has rescued you to eternity. And that alone, above and beyond anything, is worthy of praise. I know that's hard. I know it's hard sometimes to lift our perspective out of the mire of our current life situation. It's easier when we can look back and go, oh, that was hard, wasn't it? But God was there after all, even though I didn't know it at the time. Well, if you're in that situation now, let me encourage you, God is there with you, and he is good whether or not you feel it. He is your help whether or not you experience that right now. But wherever you are, he has rescued you. If you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus, he has set you apart and made you one of his people. And as we close, let's just look at how he does that. Let's look at a different perspective altogether on this psalm. You can read this psalm and you can read Jesus into the whole thing. You can read Jesus into all of this saying, save me, O God, save me. I'm being attacked by wicked people with no regard for God. Jesus prayed to God, calling for him to be his help, for him to rescue him from his present situation, if that was his will. He knew God to be his help, the one who sustained him even unto death. And Jesus is the one about whom verse 7 is ultimately true. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. Jesus is triumphant. Jesus is victorious. He has gone through the mill of being persecuted by his foes, men with no regard for God. And he wasn't found wanting. He was found faithful. And God has said, he is now victorious. He is triumphant. And one day, everything will be under his feet. That might feel far from the truth at the moment, but that is true, brother and sister, if you are a Christian this morning. And that is in itself, whatever our life situation, isn't that reason for us to try to be praising God for his goodness, praising God that he is our help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the richness of your word and how you reveal yourself to us through it. Thank you that you are our help. You are our savior. You listen to us. You are mighty and powerful. Lord, you are sustainer. All of these words that we see in this psalm and what we see elsewhere in your word as you reveal yourself to us, Lord, please help us have confidence in you. Help us to pray, knowing that you are who you say you are and that you will be true to yourself. And please help us too to praise you. Lord, for those this morning who are in the midst of horribly difficult situations, please would you be their help? Would they know that soon and know that you are good even when life feels bad? That we might be able to lift our eyes and praise you because you are always good. You are always faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.